read already, but we will read it again. God bless you so much. Are we all there? Sister Danielle, I know you. All right, Sister Catherine, please come and read it for us. Thank you so much. You know, I don't know if you all know, Sister Danielle and Sister Catherine run a business. They have a photography and event organizing business. So please, if you're here and you want to take nice photos, Sister Danielle is actually a professional photographer. So contact them, let them take you nice pictures for your house. Some of us, we need to change the pictures we have. Yeah, call them, they'll do you a good deal. Yeah, some you can also ask them to come and decorate your house for you. Some of you, we have the money to buy expensive things and we don't know the right things to buy. They can help you in that too, all right? God bless you. Sis, could you please read for us?
Not an ad. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. I'm reading from the New King James Version. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Shall we please pray? Father, in Jesus' name we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory for your word that you've given us. Thank you for great men like Paul you raised. Thank you for great intercession you made through Paul. Thank you for this opportunity to study and to get to know you through these great people. And Lord, we pray that you, who is God, who has revealed yourself to us through this hard work that you did through many people, we thank you so much. We yield to you and we surrender to you. And this morning, we open up to you that you will speak to us. I personally pray that you will give me clarity of speech, clarity of understanding, clarity of heart. And I pray the same for everyone here, that in the name of Jesus, we will grasp that which you wish us to have with us, living here today, blessed and sanctified and strengthened to live for you. We thank you that we are a corporate body. We thank you that we are your children. We thank you that you love us and you gave your son Jesus to die for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that your blood has purchased us. Thank you that your blood has given us favor. Thank you that we are walking under freedom. Thank you that we are walking in authority. Thank you that we are walking in liberty. Thank you that sin has no control over us. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We glorify you. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us, teaching us, guiding us, encouraging us, and empowering us to live for the Father. Spirit of our living God, have your way amongst us, we pray. And lead us today as we study your word. Teach us today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray that nothing that is not yours will manifest amongst us. We pray your total authority in our gathering today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you all. Awesome. We thank God so much. Please bear with us today. Today, our children are staying in, and I don't know. We just want to pray and say, God, give us favor to endure this time. Yeah. Pray that God will be with them. Children's ministry worker is looking at me like, man, you don't want the children amongst us? Yeah, I want them amongst us. So please bear with us. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. So tonight, this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, when we pray. Prayer is such a key aspect in our worship. I mean, as a matter of fact, we can't worship God without praying. The worship itself is prayer. So this morning we were downstairs, and as you know, we've been doing a series on gospel-shaped worship, and we were looking at worship, and we are on the fourth week, and I'm speaking also in line with what we are looking at. We are looking at prayer in worship. And this morning, I am blessed to have the opportunity to speak to you about prayer. When we pray, you see, all of us can talk to God. God says we should come to Him. All of us can come to Him. All of us can talk to Him. But what really matters when we talk to Him? There are ways to talk to God. Yeah? And many Christians want to talk to God. Many Christians talk to God, but we make little impact because the subject of prayer is most of the time misunderstood or not taught. Or, and a simple word is, there is a lot of ignorance in how to pray. And when the Lord's Prayer, when you get the opportunity to study the Lord's Prayer, it's a blueprint for praying, how to pray. The Lord Jesus Himself taught His disciples how to pray. And we being His disciples, it's also a blueprint for us to pray. I've actually preached on the blueprint of prayer in this house during those times when I used to visit you. With time, I may probably preach it again because we're going to the next phase, which is in line with our mission, a house of prayer. For these few weeks, we are looking at worship because our first mission statement is worshiping Christ. And so we are looking at worship. And very soon when we finish, we will be looking at prayer in line with our mission statement, second mission statement, which is to be a house of prayer. And so looking at prayer here, when we pray, the Apostle Paul, this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the people of Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian people. And he has taught them about a lot of things. He has touched on a lot of things about the love of God, about the work that Jesus had done. He had opened to them a lot of mysteries on the relationship with God. And as he had written all this from Ephesians chapter 1 all the way to where we are now in chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." For this reason, the basis of Paul's prayer was his knowledge of God's purpose. For this reason, and I talked about how he had been teaching them so many things from Ephesians chapter 1, the love of God, the our destiny being in Christ and all that, the work that Jesus had, and all that he had been teaching, now he says, for this reason. And one thing we can grasp from what the Apostle Paul is doing here is that prayer must have a purpose, and the purpose must be in God's will. It must be according to God's will. This means confidently we come to God. You see, when you're coming to God and you don't know His purpose, you don't know His will, you won't be confident in talking to Him. An example, Daniel, being in a foreign land, living in Babylon for years, and the people of Israel were in captivity. They had been stubborn to God, and God decided to discipline the people of Israel by scattering them and letting their enemies come to take them into their land. And so Daniel finds himself in a foreign land. But while Daniel was in the foreign land, he begins to search the scriptures. And he found out that God had promised that they would go into captivity. The people of Israel would go into captivity for 70 years. And after 70 years, he would bring them back home. And so Daniel finds out that, hold on, God, through scripture, his word says that we are going to be in captivity for 70 years. And the 70 years was up. So Daniel begins to pray based on knowledge, based on God's will. And the word of God says, when you study Daniel, that while he prayed, he fasted and prayed for 21 days, the answer came to him. The people of God began to receive their breakthrough by one man's research of scripture and understanding that it was time for God to do something unique. And so it is always important when we pray to pray according to the Father's will. Many of us, all of us here have wills, desires and wishes and everything. It is good. We can all talk to God about the things we want. But guess what? If it is not according to the Father's will, you can pray from morning till 1762. You know, some of us probably, based on our ignorance of prayer, have been praying since 1660 something. And up to now, breakthroughs are not coming because they are not in line with God's will. But by God's grace, we are not ignorant. The word of God said, the Apostle Paul himself said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the evil one. And so today we are learning, as Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, our Lord be your name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are also seeing the Apostle Paul praying here saying, by this reason, by knowing God and who he is, knowing the Father according to his will, we pray. And you and I can learn from this, that we cannot go to God without knowing his will. That is why it is so important that you and I would pick up the Bible. Don't go to God saying, Pastor Barnes said, it is good that you go to God. I'm actually grateful. I feel like I will be achieving something if you can actually go to God and say, oh Lord, I remember that Pastor Barnes taught me and he said that I can come to you boldly. Yeah, it is true. But what I say doesn't matter much apart from what God says. Because God says that he looks over his word to see it performed. And so God's will must be key. And if you and I are not yielded to God, we can never pray in his will. We can never. That's why it's important that we open up to God, we desire him, we go to the Bible and we study to know him and to relate with him and begin to pray effectively. What's important is being effective in prayer. What's the point praying hours after hours and not meaning anything before God? It's a waste of time. Waste of time. But you and I will never waste our time in the name of Jesus, because today the enemy is exposed. The secret is exposed. Prayer must be according to the will of God. Now look at the next part. The Apostle Paul said, I bow my knee. Paul prayed in the posture of bowing his knee. Oh Lord God, have mercy on me. Oh Lord God, I pray for these people. He's telling them how he prays for them. I bow my knee. A posture, a position of humility before God. Many of us, especially when you are in USA, you're born in USA, the greatest nation in the world. Whoa. In USA, everybody does. We have human rights. Everybody does what they want to do. Everybody says what they want to say. Everybody goes where you can't tell me what to do. But when it comes to going to God, you can't go anyway. There are ways to approach God. He bowed his knee, a sign of total humility, a sign of total humility. You know, many people in the Bible prayed this way and God answered them. An example is Solomon. He prayed on his knee, 1 Kings 8:54. Another example is Ezra prayed on his knee. All these people are people who have achieved great things in this world, you know. When you read Ezra 9 verse 5, he prayed on his knee. The psalmist called us to kneel. When you look at Psalm 95 verse 6, Daniel prayed on his knee. Daniel 6 verse 10. People came to Jesus kneeling. People came to Jesus kneeling, and Jesus was moved to do things in their life. And so you and I, when we say we are praying, when we say we are coming to God, we have to have a heart of humility. You see, the bowing must first start from the heart. If we look at it as, oh, the Apostle Paul kneeled, so I'm also going to kneel. In our modern day, it might be okay to kneel. I mean, kneeling is not a big deal. I can kneel and walk around. I can choose to do what I want to do. Hey, it starts from the heart, the posture of your heart, the position of your heart. Are you really humble in your heart? But why should you be humbled in your heart? The Apostle Paul gives us a glimpse of that. When you continue reading the passage, he says, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You see, we need to know whom we are approaching. I mean, I don't mind how I come to it, even though I respect all of you here. What's up, man? How you doing? Some of you, I bump you. Hello, mama. I hug you. You know, some of you, I hug you. I have my way of relating with all of you. Some of you, I just give you my hand. Hello, my dear sister. What's up? How you doing? Good. God bless you, my dear sister. You know, how are you, mama? God bless you. You know, I have the way I relate with all of you. And this, my brother here, I always come. I'm like, what's up? How you doing? Good. I know how to approach all of you. You're my sisters and my brothers here. But when it comes to the Lord that we are calling upon, the Apostle Paul says that he is the Father that everything permeates from. You see, the word that is used, Father, Father means source. We are calling on the God of all things. He says, out of him, we are part of this big world because of him. God from himself, the master and the creator of the whole universe. The word of God says in Genesis that he said, let there be, and there was. You're dealing with this great God. As a matter of fact, if it were just down to some demon or angel, I can choose to dance and treat that demon anyhow. I don't respect demons. I don't give them attention. As a matter of fact, I can choose to live with a demon and not even look at the demons. I won't even remain there. I don't give you focus. Because God is so important to me. Jesus is so important to me. And he's saying that we are all family because of Jesus. Jesus came to die. We saw the work that Jesus did on the Calvary cross. We know that Jesus' name is elevated above all names. Some of us, we see Jesus as everything. Amen. Don't mention Jesus. You're trying to mess around with my Jesus. What are you trying to do? Jesus is my everything. They were Christians because of Jesus. And he says, even though you see this Jesus as this great God, he has a Father. Wow. Jesus is great and he has a great... Okay. Show me the Father first. You get the point? And he says, you are calling on this great God who is the source of everything. And so the way you go must really be that you are humble. He himself is doing it, and you and I can learn from him to be humble. That means that we begin to see prayer as a privilege. If I have this opportunity in the name of Jesus to call on the Creator, the great, most high God, then it's a great privilege, because this God, I'm his creation. I'm his creation. But Because I see it as a great privilege, I can come boldly from my heart, yielding to him and talking to him, honoring him and giving him the reverence that is due him. And so the way you start your prayer is key. The way you start your prayer and the attitude in which you approach God. If you see it as a chore, if you see it as a job, then you're missing the mark. See it as a privilege. Humble yourself and approach him with humility. Approach him with humility. He has named all of us. This is the God we serve. The Father, the source of life, the source of everything. It is him we call upon. Which means that when you also go, you should have no doubt in your mind that this God can do great things for you. He can do awesome things for you. He can answer every situation that you are going through. Be it a hustle you have, be it a what, hey, any problem that pertains human life, God can handle because he created us. He created us. So now come with me in your Bible to 16 to 19. The Apostle Paul prays again and he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth and height and length and depth and high, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Paul asks that they would be strengthened with might. He understood that strength comes from God. You cannot generate strength from within you. You and I are created to be dependent on somebody. We are created to be dependent on God. That is why God is our source. And we have to understand when we are approaching God and when we are praying, to begin to understand that we can't do anything by our own might or our own strength. It takes him to strengthen us. That's why his word also says that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, through his spirit, in the inner man. It is the inner person. All of us, you and I, have inner person, which is the spirit. You see, the way I look at you, your hair looking so beautiful, your hair looking so handsome, I don't see you as Franco. I see you have an inner person, the spiritual man, the person, your everything, the way you are, the kindness you are to me, the hardworking brother you are. It's all because of the spirit that dwells in you, not the body. Not the body. And he says that you will be strengthened from within you. You'll be strengthened from within you. And the strength you have within you begins to show by the way you do things. As a matter of fact, by my understanding and knowledge of things, I know very well when someone is having peace and someone is not having peace just by seeing the way they behave and they act and they do things. You can see me and I can ask you, how are you doing? You can tell me, oh, I'm fine, and tell me all the lies you want to tell me. But yet still, when I know you, as I see you going and coming, the way you're living your life, I know you don't have peace. I know you don't. And you see, for the apostle, it is not about the physical for him. It is about the spiritual for him. He understood that it takes the God, that person that has a constant healthy relationship spiritually with God, to be able to live a physical, peaceful life. And so when you and I are praying, to first focus on our spiritual well-being, that is our relationship with God. That is what matters. And that is why Jesus came to die. We are all seated here. This Jesus, he came to die to reconnect us to the Father in heaven. Sin came into this world through Adam and Eve, who chose to obey a serpent, Satan. And by him, sin came into this world. And Jesus had to come and die to redeem you and I to the Father. And so one's inner person, your spiritual well-being with God, is ultimately important to God more than anything else. And the Apostle Paul, while he gets the opportunity to pray for the Ephesians, did not say, so that you have the best car in this world. Maybe probably that time you say the best horses. No. He pays attention to that which is important to God, their spiritual well-being. Because when you are well spiritually, physically, nothing else matters. You see, one person that was able to leave this world was Nelson Mandela. The man went to prison for years. And one of his sayings is that you can imprison a man, but you can never imprison his brain. So the man went into jail. His body was in jail, but yet still he was free and out of prison. This man came to still lead a revolution, and he literally succeeded in that which he was desiring for. You and I, what are we desiring? What is the focus of our prayer? When you kneel down to pray, what's important to you? The word of God says that seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and the rest shall be added. It's not the things that you want to tell God. It is about, hey, am I right with you, God? Am I right with you, God? Look at Carney. It shouldn't be about projects that the governor wants to do in this town. Again, yes, that is good. When the project starts, it brings income. The people here get jobs, and it goes a long way. But what is it? What would it matter if we are praying for projects here and people are dying to go to hell? And the Apostle Paul understood this. The will of the Father, the desire of the Father, must always be ultimate in our prayer. In our prayer. In our prayer. In our prayer. It must be ultimate. And he said that Christ may dwell within your heart through faith. You have accepted the Lord Jesus. He says Christ may dwell. When you read, please come with me in your Bibles, John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Do you see what the Lord is saying? I will come and dwell with you. You see, the Father's desire is that he would dwell with you and I. There are two Greek words that describes dwell. The first one is the dwell that comes from, say for instance, you go to visit someone. Most of us go on vacation, and because maybe we cannot, for some reason, we choose to stay with our family sometimes. We have a lot of people that visit us from UK. We've actually, come to understand. When someone calls us and say, hey, I'm coming to spend some time with you, we know, hey, you just come in to stay with us. Because they tell us, hey, Jumi, Kwesi, we're coming to stay with you guys. We're coming to visit you guys. And then when they come, when we are sitting in the living room, hey, how you doing? They tell us, and so what are your plans? Oh, you know, and then they pull out this long list. You didn't come to stay with us. You just came to find somewhere to put your head and go and do your thing and then pack and go. So the first word in Greek word describes the dwell, which is basically no intent to really stay over a long period of time. It is for when you have guests and they come and stay with you for some time. As a matter of fact, when we go on vacation and we're staying in hotels, I hardly unpack all my things. I take a few things out, but my things are always in the suitcase because I know I'm not staying there forever. I'm only there probably 3 days, 4 days. I'm not going to take everything out and pack it all again. And then, No. And the second word in the Greek word, which means dwelling, is when you go somewhere and you stay there permanently. And when Jesus used this word, we will come and dwell with them. In John, he used that word, permanent dwelling, permanent staying. And so it is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit's agenda to come and dwell with you and I permanently. That's why the word of God says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit will never take his presence away from you and I. God does not intend to come for some period. His things are not still in the suitcase waiting for an opportunity to leave you. No, God wants to dwell with you. God wants to remain with you. And you and I, when we pray, must prioritize God's presence in our life. Many Christians, sometimes we are asking for things that will actually come and cause us not to prioritize God. What are you praying for? How are you praying? How are you praying? The Lord is not with you, but you want him to give you everything. You're looking for his hand when he is looking for relationship. Not just some relationship, a long-lasting relationship. That is why our life is eternal. We are living on this earth with him, and it's not over here. We will still die and go to heaven. You see, that's why I keep telling people, practice the heaven life here on this earth. Because when you go to heaven, that's how it's going to be. You can't let jealousy remain with you. You can't let pride remain with you. You can't let long suffering, all these bad things that you have, the sins that you love, the things that you like, you can't let them remain with you, because when you go to heaven, it's not like that. So start working on yourself here. And guess what? He wants to dwell with you. And guess what? He that the Father dwells with, he that the Spirit of God is with, he that Jesus is constantly with, that person walks in freedom and authority. Because the Father is with you. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. He does it for you anyway. Some of us are looking for prayer to answers. Begin to desire his presence in your life. And he will begin to do awesome things. The word of God says that Jesus went around doing good everywhere he went because the Father was with him. Glory to God. And look at the power that Jesus walked on this earth with. People couldn't get their minds around it. Imagine if we have in this modern day, you and I, we are walking on this earth, walking in the authority that Jesus had. Wow. Can you imagine? We would probably be using Met Stadium. It might be small. Jesus had followers. Do you know that when they were going to capture Jesus, they sent a battalion of an army to go and capture Jesus because they were afraid that Jesus had a big gathering. He had a lot of following and there was going to be battle, serious fight. So they sent a whole... Come on, Makuriata. You know, that night, it wasn't just some 12 soldiers they sent to go and arrest Jesus. A whole army to go and arrest Jesus, that one man. And guess what? When they came and they said, we seek Jesus, he said, I am he. They all went back. Army, soldiers, battalion, plenty soldiers, all of them, they fell on the ground. That was the kind of power Jesus carried. And guess what? He says he's giving to you and I. But guess what? You cannot operate in the power if he's not dwelling with you. So our prayer must begin to have shape. When you pray, desire the Father's presence. Desire the Father to be in authority. Desire the Father, the things, you know, the things you're praying for, are they guided by the things of this world or the things that matter to the Father? That's what matters. That's what matters. That's what matters. God bless you. God bless you. God favor you. God's face shine upon you. And guess what? When you have him with you like that, you begin to operate in love. You begin to have good understanding. The depths and the width of God, basically, it can never end. The cross tells us this. When you look at the cross, look at how much the Father has achieved for us by Jesus dying. He has achieved the law. He has achieved the law. So the 20 to 21, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. He's thanking him already. Many of us, we want to come and tell God so many things. Can you imagine? We tell him so many things and we don't even end it with thank you. It's almost as if God is obligated because you asked. He had to do it, right? He's glorifying the Father even before then. You and I must begin to live a life that glorifies God. And our prayer must begin to take shape of praise. Some of us, when we're praying, we talk about all the negativity in this world. All we do is negativity. We complain and complain and complain. And we have forgotten that this God is a powerful God. He doesn't need to be reminded of all these things. Pray with some sort of faith in your heart. Pray with some sort of freedom in your heart. Pray with some sort of joy. Always see the end point and understand that in Christ you are victorious already. Jesus died on the Calvary cross. He had given you and I access to the Father. Because we have accepted him, we are now children of God. What else do you want? What else do you want? What else do we want? What else do we want? The guy is praying for the church. And you and I, we are so caught up in ourselves. Selfish people. Many of us, all of us, we are selfish. Myself, I'm selfish. And the guy is saying, may the church of Jesus Christ be glorified. You see, be moved for prayer when you see the state of fellow Christians and brothers. How do you feel when you're walking in this community? How many churches are actually coming together and seeking God? When you see the way pastors are living, I tell people, don't criticize them. Don't. It's easy for you to be caught up in criticizing when you should be praying for the church. Pray for the pastors. Pray that they will be convicted to teach the truth, to walk in love, to walk in humility. You should be burdened. I remember when I was younger, I wasn't even matured in the Lord. And I loved Jesus so much. I loved the church so much. My whole life was engulfed with going to church and honoring Jesus. And then one time, it was in the news in UK that there was a pastor who was engaged in child abuse with a young boy. And the case was in court and all that. So I went to work. I was working in a company. It's the sister shop of Home Depot, in UK. It's called B&Q. That was where I was working. And so I went to work. I walked into the office. While I was walking into the office, I was speaking in tongues. And then I entered the office. I went into the staff room. My locker was there. I opened my... And then, well, I saw on the ground the newspaper of the pastor. It was somebody had put it in the office and it was showing pastor abuses a young boy. The moment I saw it, I was like, oh my Lord Jesus. And I kicked it under the... Lord Jesus. I kicked it under the locker. It shouldn't even appear for people to see. I'm not saying we should cover up sin. But what I'm saying is we shouldn't gloat in sin. We should begin to see what Christ is all about. We should begin to desire and to see the victory we have in Jesus. And when we are praying, we begin to exalt God. We begin to exalt the Lord. The Lord is above all these situations. How many of us are doing this? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But you know yourself. And so we are going to pray by God's grace. Let us pray. And begin to talk to him and ask him to give you a glimpse of how prayer is supposed to be. Today, we've just talked about a few things. From the next few weeks, we are going to really, at the end of this month, starting next month, we will talk well on prayer. We're going to begin to study on prayer. But pray and ask God, help me to pray rightly. Pray that the Spirit of God will help you and I. Let us pray in Jesus' name.